Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moose Knuckle Radio with your hosts, Don and Justin.
I love how sexy that sounds.
Well, welcome everybody to the latest episode of Moose Knuckle Radio. I am the better host, Don Warren, and I am here with the other host.
Hi.
That sounds so enthusiastic.
What, you do? It's probably because you're sick. You have a head cold.
Who, me? No, I think I'm just demented. There's a big difference.
True.
You know. So,
but this week we have a jam-packed week.
We do. It's full of surprises. It's full of bombshells and pipe bombs.
We have Mr. Bo Keister that we will be interviewing.
Yeah, for you, those of you who don't know, last show we had on Rachel Faulkner, who's part of this this project that actually just got released on just premiered on March 1st, called Hillbilly Horror Show.
That was Saturday.
You know, it got released on March 1st, and Bo Keister is another part of that project, and he'll explain his role in it, and, we're going to sit and talk to him around 8:30.
We also have a little conversation about the future of Moose Knuckle Entertainment.
Yeah, we're going to sit down. We're going to lay it out. We're going to lay out the future, which... it's really exciting. I mean, we got, a lot of things going for Moose Knuckle, especially in the last 2 weeks. I mean, things, have kind of really, taken off. I mean, it's been a little bit of a process, but, things are really taking off. So, I'm really, really excited and looking forward to it. With that being said, it is 8 o'clock. So what's going on in the world, Justin? What's new for this week? What's going on in the world of entertainment? I mean, we just had the Oscars the other night. Did you watch?
Yes. I watched some, and then I fell asleep because I ate a gallon of Haagen-Dazs.
Wow, you are like a straight woman.
It's what I do.
Wow.
Sorry, Don. It's kind of what I do.
Wow. Yeah, no, I watched, actually for the first time in a couple of years, I actually watched a lot of the Oscar movies. I think the last year I watched a lot of the Oscar movies is when, the year, 3:10 to Yuma was nominated, and a couple other movies, No Country for Old Men, things like that.
Okay.
And, this year I actually watched a lot of the movies. I mean, I watched, Dallas Buyers Club, which I thought was amazing. I mean, it's not my genre movie. I'm not a big fan of the drama kind of, sappy, almost tearjerker type movies.
Intelligent movies.
Basically, yeah. I like it dumbed down to the point, like, oh, a Transformer, it's a machine that moves and talks.
Hey,
yay.
Transformers 3 was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
My point exactly. So, like I said, I mean, it's, I watched that movie, which I thought was amazing. I saw, 12 Years a Slave, which, was another a great movie. I saw Wolf of Wall Street, which just blew me away. That is a very graphic movie, to say the least, but it was so well done. I mean, and I was amazed that, Leo didn't win his Oscar for that. I also saw Nebraska, which with Bruce Dern, which
okay.
was really, really good. Hey, did you see that? Did you see Nebraska?
No. No, I saw, I started to watch Dallas Buyers Club, and then I fell asleep after eating a gallon of Haagen-Dazs. So.
Oh, you got to lay off the Haagen-Dazs. Like
yeah,
real
I really should.
I don't give a real issue with that here. Passing out, eating Haagen-Dazs all day, that's unhealthy, man.
I know.
Oh. Well, anyway, like I said, you know, I watched all that, and like, I thought they were really good. I mean, you know, most of the movies that were nominated this year were good. I mean, I even saw Mr. Phillips, or Captain Phillips, which I thought was, you know, really good. You know, 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture. And yes. I'm not saying it was a bad picture. I think it was well done. I don't think it was the best picture of the year. By the way, I don't think Gravity should have won for half the crap it won for. You know, I watched Gravity. I was not a big fan of Gravity. I don't know. I just that boggled my mind. I don't think it was as good as everybody said made it out to be. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I just am not in touch with anything. But I didn't think so. But anyway, that being said, like I said, 12 Years a Slave, great movie. You know, I think if anything should have won, I personally think it should have been Dallas Buyers Club or Wolf of Wall Street. Now, I get why Wolf of Wall Street didn't win. It was very graphic, it almost glorified drug use and sex and things like that. So I get it why it didn't win. And I also get it why 12 Years a Slave won. You know, and I do think, and I hate to say it, I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know, the whole race issue too. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, especially in the Academy, I mean, Ellen made the joke in the beginning of the show. She said, you know, there's one of two outcomes. It's like, one, 12 Years a Slave wins. She's like, the other one, you're all racist. So, you know, I think that did have a little bit to do with it, you know. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate because I don't think that was the best film of the year. You know what I mean? I think it won because of that reason. But, you know, it is what it is. As long as Gravity didn't win Best Picture, I think I walked away happy with that night.
Well, you know. I didn't see Gravity because to me it looked like that other movie where people were on a boat and then they were stranded at sea for a long time. I forget what it was called.
Open Water?
Yeah, it looked like Open Water in space.
It was open space, basically. Yeah. It was open space. And I was just like, ugh. Like I was bored out of my mind with that movie. Maybe it would have been visually stunning if I saw it in IMAX, but I still felt the story was just not, you know, exciting or riveting or any of those things.
Yeah, for me, if you're going to make a space movie, it needs certain things to be interesting. And those certain things are Bruce Willis.
An asteroid?
Yes, asteroids definitely help.
Yeah.
Especially, what's his name, Clint Eastwood.
Maybe a Death Star?
Yeah, yeah. Explosions. And possibly Nazis.
And aliens.
Well, yeah, I mean, Nazi aliens on an asteroid trying to crash into Earth would be the greatest space movie of all time, while Bruce Willis saves us.
That's our big announcement. That's our next project.
Yep. Space Nazis on an astronaut.
But no, I mean, like I said, I also saw American Hustle too, which I thought the acting in American Hustle was top notch. It was amazing. It was great. If any of them would have won, you know, for best actor, I wouldn't have been mad. The story I felt was lacking. I felt there were times in that film that, you know, they could have told a lot of that story in less time, and there were things that weren't really relevant to the story that weren't needed in there.
Like?
I don't know. It just, you know, on the top of my head, I mean, I saw it a couple months ago, and I remember talking about this. I don't remember exact points, but I know there were points it just felt like it was being dragged out, and it just felt like there was additional dialogue and, like, just things that weren't needed, you know, that weren't pertinent to the story, that didn't really add anything and didn't really, you know, and if it wasn't there, we wouldn't have missed it, like, you know, things like that. So, you know, like I said, with that being said, it was what it was. Now, with Matthew McConaughey winning for Best Actor, I was okay with that. You know, I thought it was really good, you know, that he won that. I mean, I think he deserved it. I mean, you know, he really transformed himself for that role, and you didn't recognize him. You know what I mean? And it was just, it was one of those lifetime roles that come by, and it was really good. I mean, he did a great job. So I wasn't mad about that. And even with Jared Leto winning for supporting actor, I mean, you know, he once again, same thing. You know, he was unrecognizable. You know, he did amazing. And, you know, both their acceptance speeches were tasteful, well done.
I saw Jared Leto's, and I don't know much of his music work. I'm not a big emo fan, but his acting work has always been phenomenal. So I didn't know what to expect when he came up to do his acceptance speech, and when I saw it, and I was like, wow, this guy is a class act. This guy knows what he knows what he's talking about.
Emo, Justin?
Yeah, emo music, emotional music. That's 30 Seconds to Mars isn't it?
I'm not sure if I agree with that sentence.
Where they sit around, they scream, and they complain about their dads and
typically
their girlfriend that left them.
It's something from childhood, Justin, you see. People have problems, and they express it through their music.
I understand that, and Jim Morrison did that in a wonderful and tasteful way, especially while on stage. But that's what, true artists do.
That was an awkward pause. But I would agree with that.
Why? Because you were thinking about Jared Leto crying on stage and Jim Morrison exposing himself and being arrested?
I'm not sure. I think that's one of those urban legends.
I thought there were police records and reports of, newspaper reports and whatnot.
He was arrested in Miami or somewhere in Florida, because everything crazy in this country happens in Florida,
yes,
or California, it seems.
And everything depressing happens in New Jersey.
Well, yeah, like a house exploded today. I mean,
yeah, I know.
These things happen in New Jersey.
And that's not the first. I was last year around, I'd say around April, May, I were just laying around having a good time. Kaboom, house explodes.
It happens here in Jersey.
Yeah, houses
just. We don't know why.
They just explode.
Houses explode. But getting back to the, he was arrested somewhere in Florida. And during the trial, I believe it was inconclusive. He was never actually charged with that. He was charged with lewdness, but he was never convicted, what I should say, of lewdness. It's kind of like Johnny Cash. People think Johnny Cash was locked up all these years. He spent one night in jail. Actually, a couple. Two nights, if you include Clarksville.
Okay.
Where he was out walking past curfew. Yes, there was curfews back in the South during the 50s. And he went out for a walk. And he was just picking daisies. There's a song that immortalizes this. I just thought you'd like to know that.
No, I thought you were going to go a little bit more into the song.
I thought so, too. But he was picking daisies and flowers, and the cops rolled up on him, and they took him in. And
well, a man like Johnny Cash,
yeah,
let's be honest, shouldn't be picking daisies and flowers.
Well, Johnny Cash
he should be drinking whiskey, cheating on his wife with the love of his life, and singing great songs. That's what Johnny Cash does.
If I can load it in enough time, I'll play this song, because I believe it's very key to the discussion we're having right now.
Okay. Well, another thing that I wanted to bring up,
yes,
since the movie guy that our pop culture guy is gone, there was a little something exciting that happened today. I want to go over the PlayStation Plus benefits of being a member of that club.
Oh, well, go ahead. I don't have PlayStation, but I'm thinking
one day perhaps.
I'm thinking of getting a PS3.
I'll tell you what, Dean. You get the PlayStation 3. You spend $50 on the PlayStation Plus. You'll never have to buy a game. Every month they give you two free games. They just give them to you.
Well, that's what happens with Xbox.
Yeah, but these are good games.
So we're Xbox. I got Dead Rising 2. I have Civilization Revelations.
Oh, it was actually the second one.
Yeah, Dead Rising 2. They dropped on us.
Well, that's a good game. I thought it was the first one.
No.
Because they drop down.
Sometimes
like, oh,
they do drop down crappy games.
We're going to give you Halo 3. Like, wow, I haven't played that since the day Xbox launched. That's exciting.
It was nice, though. I never
I can't go to GameStop and pick it up for 96 cents. Wow.
Well, I never played it, Justin, so.
Okay. Well, for that, you saved 96 cents, and you got your Games with Gold. Well, the reason I like the PlayStation 1 better is because I feel like the games that they give you pay for the subscription itself. Like, for example, this month, you're getting, and I know Xbox, I'm pretty sure Xbox already gave away this game for Games with Gold, was the most recent Tomb Raider game. Or did they give away the old Tomb Raider game?
They gave away Guardians of Light. It was, I believe, an arcade game.
Oh. Yeah. They're giving away, PlayStation's giving away the Tomb Raider game, which goes for like $40, $50 in the store. And the new game this month that they're giving away is Dead Nation. Dead Nation Apocalypse or Annihilation, something or another. It's the same game as the PlayStation 3 game, except it has all, I think it has all the DLC, and you can do, there's a special thing you can do with the PlayStation 4 where if you're streaming, and I told you before that I've done streaming with my PlayStation 4,
yes.
You can also do a function on it where, say you have a PlayStation 4, you're watching my stream, you can interact with me through the game. So you could go in there, give me bonus power-ups, or you can make the difficulty harder. Like, say there's 10 people in the room watching it. They can vote and make the difficulty harder for me. They can jump in as zombies and run around and get, you know, I can get special kills for killing player zombies, or, you know, you can unlock, I don't know if you can unlock trophies for being a zombie or what, but I know there's, you know, extra stuff.
Yes. That's interesting. See, I will say Games for Gold for Xbox won't do that. They don't have those special toppings for you.
Well, no, that's just PlayStation 4 by itself. There's, because with the new Tomb Raider game that came out for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, because you could do the interactive thing, you, if you're watching somebody and they go down, you can revive them. But you know how the internet is. Everybody hates everybody, so nobody ever gets revived. And
unless there's an achievement to unlock.
Yes. Then everybody gets revived.
Yes.
Revived.
You know.
But, I'm sorry.
Lost the, your train of thought. It happens, Justin.
Yes.
Happens to the best of us.
But with this month's game with Games with Gold, I don't know what the Games with Gold are. This month's instant game collection is Tomb Raider, which I'm playing through on the PlayStation 4. Amazing game. But it's the PlayStation 3 version, which still, it's an amazing game, just doesn't look as pretty. And Dead Nation, which I played the PlayStation 3 version a little bit, but haven't really got into it. Total, I think it's Tomb Raider's a $40 game, maybe $50. Dead Nation's $15. You know, right there, you have a $45, $55 thing. You've already paid for your PlayStation.
How is Dead Nation? Dead Nation, any fun?
Yes, if you have friends over. It's one of those games where if you're sitting on the couch by yourself, I personally don't find it fun to go through just waves and waves and waves of zombies until I die. But if you're playing with your friends and you're stealing kills and, you know, you're doing stuff like that, that's fun to me.
Understood, Justin. Is it similar to that? What was that game? Smash TV back in the day, and it was an arcade hit.
Yeah.
Is it similar to that?
Yes.
That sounds fun. So it's similar to Dead Rising 2 in the arena then as well.
Yes. I haven't played the arena in Dead Rising.
Oh, really? That's an easy way to get the money.
That's how you get the ducats?
Yeah, that's how you get the money.
Because you mean Dead Rising 2?
Yes, Dead Rising 2.
Okay, I was thinking Dead Island 2.
No, Dead Island, I haven't.
Yeah, the one that you're currently playing. I played Dead Rising 1.
Yes. Did you like Dead Rising?
I absolutely loved it.
Okay.
You know, I'm not I'm not by any means a fan of what Microsoft proposed for the Xbox One. I haven't played it to tell you whether or not it's a good system for you to buy or not. I don't know what your TV habits are. I don't know what your gaming habits are. A lot of that comes into play when this generation, like last generation, it was, where do your friends play? It was simple, you know, and most likely your friends played on the Xbox because for the majority of the console cycle, it was cheaper. This time around, it's what are your TV habits? What are your gaming habits? You know, where do your friends play? Stuff like that, because I have no need for the TV stuff that they offer because I have the Comcast thing. If I want to talk to my Comcast TV, I pull out my phone and talk to it, and then it does what I want it to do. So I have no need for all that extra fun stuff. I also don't feel the need to pay an extra $100 for games that aren't going to look as good. But the where was I going with that? Oh, the but you know, it is what it is. That's, some people like the Xbox, some people love it. One of the things that I wanted with the Xbox was Dead Rising 3. That game looks incredible.
Yeah.
Now, the second one, I watched some clips of it. I've heard mixed things about it.
Well, it's very similar. I've only played about an hour and a half. I had to go get the Zombrex for my daughter that has to have Zombrex, you see, every 24 hours, and if she does not get it, she will die.
Ah.
And I'm assuming the game will end. So,
yeah, because that's how the last one was. If you didn't do certain things and the helicopter didn't show up and you die.
Well, at least the game would go on. I'm not sure what would happen if she becomes a little zombie, or I don't know what would happen. Maybe I'm just going to find out next time. I'm actually more excited about The Walking Dead. Apparently episode 2 has come out today. So I'm looking forward to that when I get off of Moose Knuckle Radio.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Well, it's. Have you played any of the Telltale?
I played the episode. The day it came out, I played and bought episode 1.
Yes.
On the Xbox, and I was in love with it. Then I realized how fast you get through it, and you have to wait for each of the 5 episodes to come out.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh.
Episodic.
Yeah. I'll wait till it's all as one big thing.
So you like Netflix, how they put out entire seasons in one sitting?
Yes.
That would be
good. Then I can watch it at my leisure. Like I could, if I have, you know, a couple hours to sit around and watch it all day, I'll do that as opposed to I watch one episode or play one episode, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think I pretty much got the first episode, played it, and then I got out of video games for a little while.
Shame on you.
Well, by the time I got back around to it, they were all there, so it was very easy for me, and I binged it pretty much. Finished it over the course of 2 or 3 days, and an amazing experience. So I would suggest you get season 1, because season 1 plus the DLC that comes out for season 1, 300 days, I believe it's called, or 500 days, I forget which. But both of them are amazing. And then the first episode, and apparently this one, IGN put out a review of this one, the second episode of season 2, saying that it is the best that they have put out thus far.
Well, I'm interested then.
It's very good, Justin. I would certainly, I would drop the money. I would also, can you Twitch that? Can you Twitch the Telltale?
No, because it's not on PlayStation 4.
Oh, it isn't. Why aren't they on PlayStation 4?
But speaking of Twitch, which is a streaming system, yeah. I also have a little something I can't really talk too much about.
Oh, yes, you're part of a secret thing.
Yes.
That you haven't told me about whatsoever.
Yes, I have not ever told you about a certain beta that I was asked to be involved in that I can now not tell you about.
I have no details whatsoever what this beta involves.
But I will tell you, through reading about this beta that I have been invited to partake in, it says that there are exciting things involved with streaming older games.
Oh.
Yes.
I like that. You know
they
what
do,
I'm going to do?
They do the processing on their end, and yep. then they stream it to your home.
You know what I'm going to do? I think from the point where you said that you couldn't talk about this, I'm just going to edit this with white noise until we're done talking about it.
I think that's what's best for our fans. I think that's what's best for us. And I think that's what's best for the large corporation that has invited me into the beta but refuses to send me the activation code so I can't actually try it
you
out.
You still haven't gotten it.
No.
Maybe you have to contact someone at this point. It's been
I'm thinking they just decided psych.
Yeah, it could be. You never know. You never know. Well, you can't talk about it if you're not even part of it, then. You've been asked to be a part of it, but you
yeah, they
not
said they said we want you, we need you. You are, in essence, the greatest thing we have ever seen. As far
were
as
you the, are you the one like Neo?
Yes.
Okay.
That's actually what I was getting to. They were saying you are pretty much like Neo, and then they nothing. So I guess Morpheus decided that I needed to eat. I needed to take the blue pill instead of the red pill.
Okay, I get it. I know. You know, I know what it feels like because, you know, I've been the one for so long in my life that, you know, I get it. I know the feeling, and it's a great feeling, you know. Make sure you deliver, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't deliver, it's not worth it.
I'm glad you're back, Don.
So
I hope everything's okay in the life of Don.
Everything's fantastic in the life of Don. You know, I think, you know, the big thing about me, and I don't know what you guys, you know, I apologize for my absence. I had some official business to take care of for Moose Knuckle. But I wonder, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I know the life of Don is very good because of, you know, the future with, you know, Moose Knuckle Entertainment and, you know, the things that we're doing. You know, I'm really excited. And I know in a few minutes we're going to have, you know, Bo Keister on, you know, second straight show in a row that we have a legitimate guest.
Hey, not just like, hey, these guys are our friends, which, don't get me wrong, we loved having the Vargases on. They are entertaining, they're informative.
And they're friends.
Yes. We don't necessarily know Rachel and Bo. And
it
Rachel,
wasn't a favor.
No. It was our people reached out, or our people were reached out to. And we were offered the interview, and when we heard about the project, we said yes.
Of course we did, and then we always would, and you know, and they're tied. With
no,
some,
if the project's terrible, we're not going to say yes,
no,
unless our fans want us to clown on somebody, then we'll do it.
Well, yeah, but no, and
but
and
we have three fans, so just kidding. JK,
well,
JK,
lols. I don't think my mom counts, but you know. yeah, like I said, you know, they're tied with good stuff, and you know, I've seen, you know, what I have seen of this Hillbilly Horror Show, it is really interesting. I mean, it is, it's entertaining, and I mean, you know, after all, that's what we're all here for, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, it's good to have people who have, you know, some talent, and, you know, are I guess, good at what they do.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose that's a segue. Right on time, guys. Your time management skills, I have to tell you, are impressive here tonight.
Dean, may I say, we learn from the best.
I try. You know, every week I try.
No, we said the best. Dan, come on.
Oh, please.
Come on.
Now, no, we didn't learn from Cujo.
I try every week on HIAC Talk Radio to get out of there in 2 hours. Through the magic of editing, I have accomplished this week in and week out. Actually, even with editing, I think it still overruns. But that's not the point. The point is we're about to call in Bo Keister. And here
cannot
it is.
Wait.
dialing now, guys.
Hello.
Hello, is this Bo Keister?
This is he. How are you?
I am doing well. Of course, this is Dean. You're on Moose Knuckle Radio. Don is
Fantastic.
Also here with us. Don is here. Justin's here. We're ready to go. My first question is, how is Hillbilly Horror Show doing since it launched on March 1st?
It is doing great. People are really, really liking it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, whenever you launch something new, you got to get people to it and kind of get them interested. But, you know, people are starting to find us more and more and hit the site and, you know, watch the show, and the comments are coming in. And, I mean, you know, it's 5 out of 5 stars across the board.
That is awesome. Bo, I want to say welcome to the show. You know, my name is Don Warren. You know, it's a pleasure to have you here. You know, I wanted to say,
Thanks,
you probably know last week or 2 weeks ago, we had Rachel Faulkner on, and she, you know, talked about Hillbilly Horror Show and, you know, her role in it. And I just wanted to, you know, for our fans to kind of get, you know, what is your role in it? You know, what do you play and what ties do you have into this, you know, this project?
Well, I play, Bo, funny enough, you know, 'cause basically we play off of the whole thing, Scott Guider plays Cephas, so we played off the whole Bo Cephas thing. You know, a little tribute to Hank Williams Jr. But I am, you know, basically my character, I'm the lead host of the show. I'm kind of the timekeeper, the tone setter, if you will. And, you know, I'm also the producer. So, I mean, Blue DeGoyer, he created the concept of the show, and then he and I kind of developed it from there. And he roughed in the script and, you know, just to give us kind of a general concept of where we wanted to go before and after each short film. And then he really kind of put it on me and said, you know, okay, you know, you're going to be the one that sets the tone for it. So, you know, a lot of the work I do, at least on the comedy side of acting, I mean, I do dramatic films and everything as well, but a lot of my work is comedic improv, and you know, so he just kind of said, you know, you lead the team there, and you know, bring Scott and Rachel along with you. We did a lot of rehearsal time together before we shot, but Scott and Rachel were very game, and both are you know, very adept and skilled, and did a great job. But it, you know, Scott would say, you know, it's a lot of fun trying to keep up with me. I'm a little insane. I can't help it.
Well, I think we all are. I think the good ones always are, anyway. So, you know, I do you have a say? Because I know that the basis of this show is, you know, the shorts that, you know, various directors send in, you know, from everywhere. And do you have a say in, I guess, you know, who makes it, what shorts make it on the show, and, like, what shorts don't?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Blue and I are a team, and we're kind of, I mean, it's our baby, really. But, you know, David Moon, David was originally slated to be the director, and another show pulled him away, and Sharif stepped in as our director and did a fantastic job. But before all that happened, you know, Blue and David and I, and of course, see, Scott is also known as Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror. And he's a very well-respected horror blogger and horror film reviewer. He goes around and does all the big horror conventions. He's very well known within the genre. And he was very key in helping us find films to consider. And then the four of us kind of democratically looked at it and said, you know, okay, we really love this, and this one fits. And, you know, you're not talking about, you know, short films that Joe Bob and his brother went out in the backyard with a Sony Handycam and slapped together. You know, these, I mean, these are studio-quality films. I mean, and I'm still trying to figure out how The Nest was able to do the CGI stuff that they were able to do. I mean, I don't know if they have pictures of, you know, somebody at Sony, you know, or some, or Universal or something, like burying a dead hooker or what, but I mean, they either know somebody, somebody owes them a favor, or, you know, they're like related to a billionaire, because the CGI in it is just fantastic and really just blew me away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I guess when you hear, like, you know, the stigma of, you know, short films, you have a, you know, a preconceived notion. And watching that, I mean, you know, I'm with you. You know, the stuff really, you know, kind of blew me away. And I know, you know, my partner Justin too.
Hi.
You know, with that being said, you know, what do you guys look for, you know, in a short that you guys are going to put on the Hillbilly Horror Show?
Well, I mean, the first thing is always, you know, is it a good story? You know, is it entertaining? I mean, that's the first thing we want. If your audience isn't entertained, you're sunk. And, you know, we want it to be entertaining and fun, and have an enjoyable story to be told. But, you know, just as equally important to us is the quality of the work. I mean, is the acting solid? Is the cinematography good? You know, we don't want junk, you know, and you do get that a lot with short films. And I mean, you know, you have to understand people are working on, you know, a budget that is basically a roll of duct tape and a case of beer. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's all in how do you execute. And if you really put together something solid and you've got somebody that behind the camera that knows what the hell they're doing, you can still put together a quality film on a lesser budget. But, you know, if it's just a couple of people grabbing, the latest HD cam out of Best Buy or something like that and slapping something together and they don't understand anything about editing or sound or anything like that, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for something that, you know, is going to impress people and also help promote these indie filmmakers who did these short films to begin with to promote their own careers or possibly, you know, help them find funding to do a feature-length version of this film. This is a chance for them to have that opportunity to be showcased. And, you know, as much as it's our show, it's their show too. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're putting out quality product on our end and putting quality product in the show itself so that these filmmakers are represented in a great light.
Okay.
Hi, Bo. Justin here.
Hey, brother.
One of the questions that you bring that up, saying that this brings these films into light, brings to a new audience and whatnot, does being that your co-host or one of your co-hosts is one of the looking for the right words, foremost horror minds, and he judges horror film festivals, he goes to horror conventions and everything, does that help? Does that help you guys as far as getting people exposure?
I think it does. I mean, you know, Scott is so well respected by so many people in the horror genre, and having him attached, you know, it lends credibility to what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's a big step forward for any show like this. I mean, you know, the concept that Blue came to me with in December, and, I mean, you know, people have to realize we took this thing from concept to launch in 3 months.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, we were running a blistering pace, and there's Facebook chat chains between us that are probably a mile long, you know, bantering back and forth, you know, as to, okay, you know, well, what if we do this, what if we do that? But, you know, bringing someone like Scott on board, you know, Blue and I knew a lot of people in the horror genre because of our film House of Good and Evil. Blue wrote and produced, and then I came on board as an actor and then later co-producer. And, of course, David Moon was the director of House of Good and Evil. And, by the way, that releases April 1st. We're going to do limited theatrical and DVD with that, so everybody needs to be on the lookout for it. They can also find House of Good and Evil through Video on Demand on Vimeo and check it out. Absolutely great award-winning film. But, you know, we kind of took it and ran with the concept, but, you know, Scott was able to put us out there, and even though we knew a lot of filmmakers, he knew a lot of filmmakers in the horror genre that had shorts they really wanted to show off, and he was able to reach out to those folks and say, you know, hey, you know, these guys are legit. They're not, you know, jerking you around. You know, they'll do what they say they're going to do. And that brought us a lot of films. I mean, I can remember literally days where I was just sitting and watching short film after short film, you know, ignoring my kids and my wife and everything else. And, you know, not that I don't do the same thing during football season, but,
yeah,
you know, it just, we really had a lot of submissions that we had to go through, and we've got a lot of submissions we're still going through for volumes 3 and 4, so, and we're going to shoot those in May.
Wow. So I know, you know, in talking to Rachel and, you know, talking to you too, I mean, I know you guys have plans for the, you know, future volumes, but, you know, what is, like, your ultimate plan for this? I mean, would you guys like to see this, you know, like, you know, get a TV deal? Would you like to stay just basically on the web? I mean, what's your, you know, your ideal goal, if you could get it, what would you want to do with it?
Oh, you know, hey, I mean, you know, if we end up on, you know, if we end up being the Tales from the Crypt, I'm not going to complain or argue. I mean, you know, we certainly, you know, I mean, I'm not allergic to success or money or any of those things. But, you know, we're just, you know, we want to grow it. We want to grow it and continue to support indie filmmakers and continue to support indie film. As a matter of fact, we're working a deal with, you know, Tamara Glenn from Halloween 5. She's coming on board. She's going to be part of the production team. She's going to come on board as a producer. And also, you know, you're going to see her in front of the camera. And we're just absolutely, we could not be more thrilled about that partnership. You know, she's so well-respected within the horror genre. And on top of that, she's one of the founders of, you know, the Hot Springs Film Festival, which House of Good and Evil took top honors at last year. And, you know, so, you know, we're really, I mean, the indie film community and people tied in with it, especially in the horror indie genre, are really starting to rally behind us and support us. They see what we're trying to do. They, you know, they know it's a great concept and they want to help. And, you know, when you can rally support like that, you're going to succeed. And that's the goal. It's just to succeed, and whatever spoils come with that, that's great. You know what I mean? You know, we don't measure success by, you know, okay, great, you know, HBO picked this up. I mean, if that's what we've reached, then that's our level of success. But,
yeah,
you know, if we don't end up being anything but a great web series that people love and we're able to continue to do it and continue to showcase indie filmmakers, then that's a great level of success for us as well.
Right on. Now, I know you said a lot of the work you do is, like, you know, kind of improv work, you know, and I was wondering, you know, do you have any, I guess, like, any formal training of any sort, or was this something that just comes naturally to you, or, like, how is it for you?
I mean, most people who know me would tell you guys that I'm just playing an amplified version of Seth Fears in me. And which I'm actually sitting here in a restaurant in Peoria, Illinois, pouring one right now.
Nice.
You know, I guess I can say this on Blog Talk Radio that I'm drinking. But
yeah, I'm sure. You
no, I mean, I've been a professional actor since around '97. Hold on. I got a waitress trying to steal my beer.
Blogspot's not trying to steal the waitress.
You know, hey, yeah. Well, I mean, I would steal the waitress. She's really cute.
nice.
But God help me if my wife's listening in. I'm a dead man. Cindy, I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you.
That line has just become scarier than all the shorts you've seen together.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I mean, I'll go home to Freddy Krueger. I'm not kidding you. She'll have knives attached to her fingers. No, the thing is, I've been a professional actor since about 97, and I've had a lot of formal training. As far as improv training, I mean, I lived in L.A. for 7 years and studied at the Groundlings Theater, which, you know, produced people like Will Ferrell. But, you know, all of that had kind of been laying dormant until I did a film called The Cabining, which is actually doing a big premiere at the Bare Bones International Film Festival in Oklahoma in April. And I just found out, you know, we got one of the real cherry spots for the film festival. That was the first character. I mean, most of the time I play bad guys. I mean, I'm 6'4", 205 pounds. I mean, I'm bigger than most actors by a damn sight, and so I end up usually playing a lot of bad guys and doing a lot of heavy drama stuff, and you know, that was my first chance to really show off, you know, what comedic chops I have at my disposal. And my character in The Cabining, Bruce, which is just kind of this guy who looks at life as, you know, one big, you know, playground for him to mess around in, is what kind of sparked the whole idea for Blue as far as the type of character he wanted me to play and what he wanted me to go with. I think we ultimately settled on hillbillies because it was the only way we could work around my southern accent. But I've trained with some of the top acting coaches in the world. And okay. I've really, you know, worked hard to hone my craft, and I think that's the most important thing an actor can do for their career is just train your butt off, man. I mean, you know, I look at this as no different than a mechanic or a brick mason. If you're gonna be one of those, you've got to know what the heck you're doing. And with acting, it's no different. You've got to learn your craft. You've got to hone your skills and be ready to go because, you know, on set is not the time to be honing your craft. You know, that's time and money. And directors and producers expect you to walk on set and know what the hell you're doing for a change. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. And that's, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't do that. But it's good to know that you do. So. You know, for anybody, I guess, you know, any directors or filmmakers out there that are, you know, maybe interested in, you know, becoming, you know, part of the Hillbilly Horror Show, getting their thing, you know, getting their films on there, and maybe they're not there yet, maybe not at the level. Do you have any advice for people, you know, maybe what they could do or, you know, how to approach it to, you know, I guess, you know, be accepted or maybe, you know, get looked at for, you know, something like Hillbilly Horror Show?
Well, let me say this. We will look at anyone who submits to us. And if you go to hillbillyhorrorshow.com and you click on the holler at us, I'm trying to remember if it's the holler at us page or whatever the contact page is. I'm trying to visualize it in my head. But, yeah, if you just, you know, if you click on that and you go to our contact form and – you know, just send us an email. You know, we're open to all contenders. I mean, you know, there's no, if you think you've got something solid, if you think you've got something worth, you know, worth seeing and that people are going to want to check out, then we want to see it. I mean, you know, if we don't select you, we don't select you. And it doesn't mean that, you know, your film's not good. It just means that it may not meet the criteria that we want. But, you know, basically, if you've got a horror short or a paranormal short or a thriller short that is, you know, between 5 minutes and 35 minutes and you feel like it's solid quality, then, you know, go to our contact form, shoot us a link. You know, you can use a password-protected Vimeo link or YouTube link or whatever you need. You know, Dropbox us to us. We don't care. You know, just get it to us. We'll check it out. You know, and, you know, if you're just trying to get going and get stuff out there, you know, just remember, don't give up on this stuff. You know, if people aren't, you know, getting into what you're doing, don't quit. You know, don't throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, I suck, I'm not doing this anymore. Because, you know, this is a business that is, you know, people succeed because of attrition. And, you know, I almost think of it like football. And, you know, you wouldn't stop 3 yards short of the goal line, you know, if it means winning the Super Bowl. You'd keep pushing. You know, so, you know, keep pushing. Keep honing your craft. Keep refining your skills and, you know, your capabilities and your technology. And just keep producing. Keep producing content. Because every time you walk on a set, you're going to learn something new. And also, you know, take the opportunity to work with people who know more than you do. You know, I mean, whenever I walk on a set and I'm, you know, standing across from, you know, I mean, well, like, you know, Richard Reilly was in the cabining with us. And, you know, most people won't know Richard by name, but they will know him the second they see him. I mean, this guy has, you know, close to 250, 300 IMDb credits. Wow. You know, and for those who have seen Office Space, he's the jump to conclusions guy in Office Space. and this guy is a veteran actor, you know, and I mean, I've worked with people like him, people like Lance Nichols, who's on the HBO series Tremé. He and I had a scene together in a film I did called Where I Begin. I mean, these are brilliant, talented veteran actors. And you take every opportunity you can like this. So even, you know, whether you're in front of the camera or behind the camera, every chance you get to learn from someone in the business who knows a hell of a thing, to take it and absorb a bit of knowledge you get from them like a sponge, and then you apply it to what you're trying to do personally. And that's the way you climb the ladder. That's the way you succeed. And the other thing I'll say is bring a damn work ethic. I mean, I have never actors that, you know, walk on a set with this diva attitude. I mean, I don't care if the camera's on me or not. I'm bringing 110% on every set, and I try to make every role I play better than the role I did before. And that's the mentality you've got to have. I mean, if you're sitting there, you know, raising hell that, you know, there's, you know, mixed color M&Ms in your trailer or your dressing room, you deserve to be slapped with a wet fish or something. I don't know. But I don't understand that mentality. I don't get it. I never have. You're hired to do a job, you know, and because I come from a small town, Virginia, raised, you know, by parents that worked their butts off to get where they are, and they just let me have, you know, some, you know, highfalutin attitude. I've never been one to forget where I came from and what my roots are, and I bring that work ethic to set every time I walk on there. And, you know, you don't have to look around to find me. I'm not, you know, hiding in my trailer, refusing to come out or something. I'm on set and ready to go. And that's what you got to be.
Now, I checked out your IMDb, and I've seen you've done some pretty noteworthy films, including, and I hope you don't laugh at this, one of my favorites, you were in Black Dog.
Oh, I was a baby in the business there. I was an extra, but you know, you know, going back to talking about, you know, absorbing, you know, knowledge from
that,
people.
That was the question I was going to ask. Who do you feel that you were? Whether they're a Patrick Swayze or, you know, someone who's you really don't you know, someone like that's not following movies really doesn't know, who did you feel that you learned the most from?
Oh, I mean, it was definitely Pat. And I ended up on set with him, and just by random happenstance, ended up getting to chat with him for about 30 minutes while they were reworking a shot and and setting up equipment. Still to this day, I mean, I've worked with a lot of big name people and been around a lot of big name people on sets, you know. But I mean, I was, good God, Black Dog was the first big film I've ever been on, and I ended up being a featured extra as an FBI agent. So I was part of a very small group of people. Unfortunately, all our footage pretty much ended up on the cutting room floor because of budgetary issues. But I got to chat with him, and he was just the nicest person. Without a doubt, still to this day, I think he and James Coburn are the two most kind and just generous as far as the information that they give you and the words of it they give you of any celebrities I've ever met.
That's
saying something. I mean, you look at somebody like James Coburn. I mean, that's an Academy winner, and I won the Oscar for Affliction. And you know, if anybody has the right to, you know, have an ego and an attitude in this business, it's a legend like that. And you know, they're so and so kind, and you know.
Wow. Well, you know, Bo, you know, I want to say, you know, it's been a pleasure having you. I appreciate you stopping by. And, you know, for our fans, you know, where can they find the, Hillbilly Horror Show?
.com, man. Get to the website. You can also search us if you go on Vimeo.com and just search Hillbilly Horror Show. Just click on Volume 1, and, you know, right there it is. You know, you get an hour of great entertainment, you know, a lot of laughs, you know, some good scares, and, you know, just, I mean, get to take in some really great short films by some extremely talented filmmakers. You know, I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed. You know, by all means, you know, leave a star rating, leave us some feedback. I mean, because we're just going to keep making them better and better. It's just going to keep getting stronger and stronger, and you know, I mean, we want feedback from our fans. We want to know what you guys want to see. I mean, you know, so, you know, hillbillyhorrorshow.com. We've also got some cool merchandise on there, you know, with the show logo. You can get T-shirts. You can get a print of our official poster so you can stare at Lulu all day. Nothing wrong with that. And, okay. You know, we've got some really cool beer koozies, too.
Right on. Bo, do you have a Twitter or Facebook people can follow you at?
Absolutely. Facebook.com/Bo Keister or at Bo Keister on Twitter. And, of course, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Hillbill Horror. And you can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Hillbilly Horror Show.
Bo, once again, I want to thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you and a pleasure talking to you.
Guys, it has been a blast, and I'd love to come back sometime.
We'd love
absolutely.
To have you. Thank you.
You have a good night now, Bo.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care, Bo.
All right. So that was Bo Keister.
Yeah, what a guy, man. You know, this Hillbilly Horror Show, man, you know, it's really taken off for them, and I really couldn't be happier for them guys. You know, I can't believe they only did it in 3 months. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That I have no idea. That's, you know, something that when you hear a project like this going off in 3 months, I mean, the amount of stuff that has to go into it, you have the casting, you have filming, they have to review, like he said, so many submissions that they even have enough for a volume 3, 3 and 4, you know, and he's watched them all. The amount of work that goes into that really shows the work ethic of Bo, of, you know, the entire team, and that just goes to forward show how good the show's going to be.
And I'll tell you, if, you know, the rest of the people that are on that project are, you know, half as decent and half as nice as Bo and Rachel, then, you know, that thing's going to go far because, you know, both of them were great, you know, very gracious and, you know, was really, you know, it was really awesome to talk to them both. And, I had a pleasure having them both on. And, you know, like I said, guys, you know, for the fans that are listening right now, the ones that are going to download this later, you know, make sure you check this out. Go support them, man. You know, like he said, this is, you know, indie filmmaking at its best, and sometimes that's where you're going to see the best stuff. You know, you're not going to see, you know, that mainstream, you know, stuff. You see that indie stuff that is really, you know, a lot of it's groundbreaking and new and creative, and that's where, you know, new things start. So, you know, go check it out and support them.
Yeah, and for me, I was never really too much of an indie film fan.
Yeah.
A lot of it I always kind of saw as South Park put it best, lesbians eating pudding. It just, it was just, you know, stories that were sad and wanted to change the world, but never really could. But after getting into indie wrestling and seeing that side, I started looking at indie film and really saw that there's kind of there's a lot of similar stuff there where you have, you know, a lot of the heart and passion is in the indie films, just like it's in the indie wrestling, just like it's in the college football, college basketball. And then when you go to the pros, you know, you have your glitz and glamour, bigger stuff. Not that there's not passion there, but if you want to see people with their raw projects with no constraints, with the exception of a budget, then indie projects are where to go. And like Bo said, the one project they have, he has no idea how they did the CGI.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's, you know, sometimes, and that's the great thing is, you know, sometimes, and I've noticed this, that sometimes indie people have a really strong asset to them, and it's something that you wouldn't expect, you know, indie filmmakers have. And it seems to me that any good indie film has one really strong asset to them, and that one happens to be CGI. Some people, it's various things, but, you know, like Moose Knuckle, and it's a testament to the great Justin, is, you know, the production, you know, we have such an asset with that that a lot of indie filmmakers may not have or would have to, you know, go outsource and pay for. So, you know, I think that's a testament to, I think, you know, good indie films and filmmakers.
I'll take the credit and or blame for the edit, but the production, that's really a team effort. We all get together.
Well, the edit, yeah, that's what I meant, the edit. I'm sorry, the edit.
Yeah, I mean, the current project that we're working on, Segway, the On the Road, the current project that we're working on, which is a documentary about, we're looking at a larger scope. We're looking at doing and Dean, you can join in on this conversation if you want. We're looking to tell stories of exceptional entertainers that go on the road. And the first person that we found, and just so happens that he's a friend of Dean's, a friend of ours, that he has one of, in my opinion, the better stories in independent professional wrestling. I mean, this
captivating.
Yes. Matt Tremont is, in my eyes, one of the guys where if you don't know him, you just see a guy that likes to get bloody. But when you watch his matches and you see, you know, you watch and you get to know the guy, it becomes completely different.
It really does. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, being a fan of wrestling, and especially in this area, in the South Jersey area, you know, we are a hotbed for independent wrestling, all sorts of wrestling, and it's been like that for years. And one of the bigger promotions out here was CZW, and I, you know, had followed CZW a little bit, you know, throughout the years, and, you know, I would see different things about different wrestlers. And there was one guy that I saw, you know, by the name of Matt Tremont, who was just this guy who just did some of the most brutal and insane things I've ever seen, you know, a guy do. And, you know, I actually got the chance to meet him, and working for a promotion I worked for, he came in and, you know, he wrestled for us. And I could not believe that the guy I was talking to was the same guy that goes out in that ring, because, you know, he was just so gentle, so kind, and such a polar opposite of what he was in the ring. And after talking to him, and getting to know him and knowing his story, you know, I felt, and along with, you know, Justin and Dean, and this was originally Dean's idea, that we all felt that this needs to be told, because this isn't just a story about a wrestler that would appeal to wrestling fans. This is a story about a man who's following his dreams that will appeal to any person who has ever had a passion for anything and who has ever sacrificed anything, you know, to, you know, follow their dreams or get what they want. And that's what he does day in and day out. You know, he is just the bona fide, you know, image of a man that is just following his dreams and will do anything to attain those. And to tell this story is not only something that I feel needs to be done, you know, for me, and I believe Justin and Dean, you know, it's a privilege to be able to do it. And it's something I'm looking forward to and I'm putting all my heart into. And Moose Knuckle and Hell in the Cell, we're putting everything we have into this because we believe in this project so much. You know, and I'm just glad that, you know, we are the ones that have the opportunity to do it. And I believe that once people see this, you know, finished product, you know, they will be, and excuse the pun, emotionally invested in this.
Yes.
I think what I wanted to touch upon extremely quickly was one of the key things you said there. You didn't say it in these words, but it's the human condition of
Matt
Tremont. And I'll relay the tale of the first time I spoke with Matt Tremont. I went to I made it a thing over the spring and summer of 2012. I was going to Doc Diamond's. He had Devastation University going at the time. It was in Pensauken at the time. They were the school was actually Loco, and Doc Diamond was associated with both both promotions at the time. And the day before Tangled Web, so this was August of 2012, the day before Tangled Web that year, Matt Tremont was taking on DJ Hyde the very next night. This was a Friday. The next night was Saturday when the event was taking place. And I saw this young man through a window cutting one of the most heartfelt promos I have ever seen. I constantly tell Matt that he is this generation's Dusty Rhodes in a way. The way that he can connect to an audience as a common man, as one of the people that was in the crowd. And another part of the story is, of course, Matt Tremont being on the other side of the guardrail. We're going to get on all that as well. But I remember watching him cut this promotion. He's yelling, he's cursing, he's very upset. And afterwards I said, this is a guy, because HIAC started by this point. So I said, this is a guy I want to interview. You know, he has a big match coming up. He's in the main event of Tangled Web, one of the it's like one of the big four for CZW during the year. Of course, Best of the Best, but that's not the point here. So I go up to him afterwards, and he was just this humble young man. And one thing that you're always going to hear when people talk about Matt Tremont is how humble he is, how nice a guy he is. And you wouldn't expect that if you were just a fan of his. If you were just a fan sitting in that crowd watching what this man does to other people as he uses a fork to carve up their heads, as he takes very dangerous bumps. The match, and I told him this after the match he had with Joe Gacy at Cerebral this year, that he took nearly every dangerous spot in that match. He went through a guardrail, he went through the barbed wire, he went through the bed of nails, just the things he does, and you wouldn't expect him to be as nice, and I think both of you would agree with that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
My first experience with Matt, and to show how humble he is about everything, Matt comes one day to the wrestling promotion that Don and I were working for, New Moon Rising Wrestling, and he says, oh, you know, hey, brother, you know, anything I could do to help you out, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I was running around not knowing who he was. And his friend slash, not sure if he was a manager or whatnot, says, hey, you know, this guy will do security for you if you need it, whatever. So we needed security, and we put him in.
My God.
And he did a security job for us. And then he
he says after the show, hey, you know, I'll come work for you because you have a guy on my on your roster that I really want to get in there with. And, you know, it's Crazy Ivan, one of our top guys. With a little bit of research, as you know, also known as, I said, Dean, who is this kid? I find out that it would be a great idea to use him in that role. And that's all he wanted. All he wanted was just, you know, a couple matches with Ivan. And he went out and told the world that he was, you know, wrestling Ivan. He was ecstatic about it and got people to come in and watch that.
Yeah, he definitely did.
That's one thing, too, you bring up, where even Steve O'Neill, we did get an interview with Steve O'Neill. Of course, he is the owner of Extreme Rising, and we captured an interview where even he was talking about how Matt's a 4 or 5 year veteran now. I always lose track of exactly where he is, but he's a 4 or 5 year veteran now. He's at the place now, especially after his Cage of Death matches, and he's a vet in this business. He has paid his dues, if you put that in quotation marks, but he is so willing. He'll be the first one there and the last one to leave. He's really a John Cena for any company that would want to use him in that way. He would be a great spokesman for any company, someone you could put the strap on, somebody that could carry the promotion. If you want to talk about a young man that really will go all out to spread the word about the promotion, He'll be in one promotion and wear your shirt during another promotion on iPay-per-view. He did that for us. He put on a New Moon Rising shirt during a WSU event. These are just things that he does to get the word out for different companies, for things he believes in. And getting his buy-in to this project was so important to me because I knew if he believed it, in the project, it believed in us as a collective unit. Of course, I guess you could call me the host of the On the Road series. But as long as he believed in Moose Knuckle Entertainment and HIC, I knew that we could create magic. And with Matt, that's not too hard to definitely see because he goes all out, whether it's in the ring, whether it's projects he's involved with, promotions he's involved with. I don't have enough respect. I can't vocalize the amount of respect I have for Matt Tremont.
Now, Dean, I understand that you're personal friends with Matt, and you've gone down the road with him, and you've had long conversations with him, and you know that's how you sold us on Matt. And you've seen his talent, and you've spent the past segment talking about Matt and his talent and all that. Now, I would like to move on to a friend of mine that has talent that I'd like to talk to, segue into Don Warren and his webmastering. Don Warren is a web designer, and yes, it's the same Don Warren that's on the show, and he created something very exciting that I'm going to pass it off to Don to explain.
Yes, in the last couple of months, Moose Knuckle Radio has, kind of taken off. I mean, the first few weeks, first few shows, in my opinion, were a little lackluster, and, in the last a couple of weeks, it's kind of taken off. But what a lot of people don't know is, behind Moose Knuckle Radio is a company called Moose Knuckle Entertainment that was started by myself and Justin Clayton. And our goal, was, to make films that we like, to make films that other people will enjoy. And, like I said, the first project, right now, the On the Road documentary, the Matt Tremont one, is the first project. And, any legitimate company they must have in this day and age. And one of those things to legitimize yourself is a website. And for the past couple of weeks, I have been working very hard, sync with Justin, on this website, and tonight You know, it's finally finished, and we're finally ready to unveil, you know, the next part of Moose Knuckle Entertainment, and that is our website. And our website can be found at www.mooseke.com. And on that site, you know, you can find information about us. You can find information about Moose Knuckle Radio. You can see some of the work we've done. You can see a little bit about, you know, upcoming appearances, events, different things we'll be at. And, you know, just so you guys know that are listening, you know, for many of the filmings and things that we're going to be at in the future, you know, you guys, we're looking for people to, you know, be involved. You know, so on our website, we have a contact us page, you know, and, you know, we have various links on the website where you can contact us and let us know if you're going to be in the area when we're filming. And you want to be a part of what we're doing, let us know. And, you know, we'll see, you know, we might be able to get you in. We might be able to get you into this, you know, documentary we're doing. You know, we want you guys to check out the website. You know, keep supporting our Facebook page, you know, keep the likes going up. You know, we've seen a lot of support and interest in what we're doing, you know, and not only are we doing this because we like it, but we're doing it to give back, and we're doing it because, you know, we believe that there are things we can give, you know, to the world that are interesting and that people will enjoy. And that's, you know, that's why we do this. So, you know, check out the website. Once again, it's www.moose, M-O-O-S-E, the letter K, the letter E, .com. And, you know, it is live tonight. And, you know, we want you to check it out and, you know, enjoy it.
You can also find on there links to our Facebook and Twitter, if Don didn't mention that, and an awesome picture of me and Don.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we do have the information about us and our, you know, our Facebook and Twitter, which I constantly update that Twitter. I mean, constantly. I'm always on that Twitter. You know, just constantly just on Twitter. Just doing
we do a lot of Twitter updating.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it's one of my most important things. I check it at least 10 times a day.
Yes. But I do want to say, if you ever wanted to know who the men behind Moose K.E. are, there is an Our Story section, and it goes an in-depth bio on each of us, and it's 100% accurate, 100% correct, and if you don't believe me, then you can ask me.
It's 100% true, and you'll see, you know, photos, like he said, of us. It is legitimate. You know, we didn't pull any punches. We let it all out, you know, our stories of who we are, where we came from, and how Moose Knuckle Entertainment got started. So, and in the future, we are going to be adding different things to our site. We will be adding a lot more of, you know, the work we've done. We will be expanding our portfolio. We will be adding another section on the services that we actually offer. You know, we'll be adding our events, we'll be updating our events and our appearances constantly to keep you guys updated on what we're doing. And, you know, so you guys, like I said, can be a part of it, and you guys can follow us and you guys can support us, because, you know, without you, we would be nothing. So, like I said, check it out tonight. Go there. Enjoy it. It's for you.
And us to advertise.
Well, that too. But we don't tell them that.
Okay.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Okay, it's for you.
It's all for you. I did it all for you. I did it all for the Nookie.
So it was a great show, I would say.
Well, as usual. I mean, when do we not deliver?
True. Well, there was that one week when we really delivered. I think it was two shows ago when you weren't here. Dean and I killed it.
You delivered a pile of poop is what you delivered. And it smelled, and I still have that stench around me from that, because for some reason I'm associated with that when I wasn't even here. But, you know, there's still three people in comas from the effect of that show.
Because they are amazed. Am I right, Dean?
No, I will say that was the highest downloaded episode until Rachel Faulkner, so Donnie, suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was only downloaded because they thought I was going to be a part of it, and then, you know, they got mad, and then they came on the Rachel Faulkner one. They were like, oh, Donnie's part of it. Boom, we're back in.
No.
So suck that, sucker.
Misinformation. But, you're a fountain of misinformation, sir.
Your face smells. So
let me just throw out a quick plug.
Good.
for, once again, the website that Dean and I work for. I'm actually working on a review this week.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I received a Blu-ray in the mail.
Oh, Tara's Independent Voice. I thought you were, go ahead.
Yes, Tara, what did you think I was talking about?
I thought HIAC Talk Radio.
Oh, a gaming review?
I don't know.
I might be able to work something out.
We'll take this off air, Jeff.
Yeah, but I have, and I correct me if I'm wrong on the title, I believe it's called Wrath of Vajar.
I believe so. It
looks
Welgo
like
Entertainment delivers again.
It looks like there's lots of kung fu. Looks like there's lots of French speaking people, and it looks like there's lots of amazing.
I saw that, and besides the fact that it was Blu-ray, and I do not have a Blu-ray player, I said this is for Justin. This is a Justin review. But give that title of that website that we do in fact work for.
Tara's Independent Voice.
.com,
and that's T-E-R-R-A, not
yeah.
Tara, like yeah. I thought.
Yeah, I think some people may get confused with that.
Yes. It's not Tara's, and it's Tara, as in Tara from Final Fantasy 3, or was it 7?
3, I'm going to go with.
Yes.
Omega Squad will correct me tomorrow, if he heard this episode. He's watching the Syracuse game.
Oh.
No, okay.
Well, he went to school at Syracuse. That was his alma mater, as they say.
Oh, okay.
Well, speaking of...
Alma maters?
No.
Oh.
Reviews. I review this episode very highly. And
I enjoyed Bo. Bo Keister, of course.
Yeah.
Check
very
him
entertained.
Out at Bo Keister on
yeah.
Twitter. And Hillbill Horror.
Where can
yeah,
they find you, Dean?
Oh, well, I like to wrap things up, so you guys.
You have a control thing, Dean.
Yeah,
do.
You have issues with control, Dean.
Yeah.
If you have an ego, you got to let go of that ego, brother.
Yeah.
That's not really becoming.
It's
unbecoming.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
But you guys go.
And it's rearing its head.
I have a few things I have to plug before we go, but go ahead.
Then plug them.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear your plugs.
You'll hear my plugs when I get to them.
I want to hear your plugs too, Dean.
You'll hear them.
Just plug it. Plug
and this
it.
This is why Dean hates going on road trips with us.
Plug it in, plug it in.
So I am Justin Clayton. You could find me on Twitter at AWSOM82. You could send me a friend request on the PlayStation Network at AWSOM82.
Who's your newest friend?
A guy that goes by the name of Michael Manna, also known as Stevie Richards.
Nice. Good catch. Well, I am Don Warren. You can find me, well, I'm on Twitter at Donnie, D-O-N-N-I-E, Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, but I'm usually not there. You can go on Facebook, find me, Don Warren, just search for Don Warren. Probably go to MySpace. I think I'm still on there, too. You know, search for Captain Save-A-Ho, and I'm pretty sure that's still up to this day, which is actually my legitimate username on that page. And I might even be on LiveJournal, too. I don't know. My emo days. You know, Sad But True, I think my name was. So search for me there, too. And
see what I mean, Dean?
Too bad he wasn't here for the Jared Leto session.
So,
being sad, his dad...
With that being said, now that everybody got their plugs out the way, we're just going to close the show because Dean doesn't have any plugs
at
all.
Dean doesn't have anything. Take us away, Dean. You don't have anything.
Take us home, Dean. Bye. Bye,
and,
everybody.
Of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can find the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio on Twitter. You can also follow the Facebook, facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Make sure you check out Moose Knuckle Radio as well on Facebook. That is facebook.com/Moose Knuckle Entertainment. Make sure you check out their website. It is moosek.com. That's M-O-O S-E, the letter K, the letter E.com. Make sure you check them out there as well. You can find all the episodes of the HIAC Talk Radio Network on iTunes and Stitcher. If Stitcher's your thing, you're more than welcome to go there as well. Of course, check out everything at HIACTalkRadio.com. This episode will be there as soon as we are done and it has processed. Tomorrow night on the flagship here on the network, Keiko the Flying Hawaiian. He recently vacated the ECWA Heavyweight Championship. So we're going to talk to him, talk about his setback. He has an ACL injury. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're also going to talk about the WWE Network. What's going good? What's going bad? We might even talk about some CZW happenings. But until the next time we're back, guys, when the hell is this show back? The 18th.
The 18th.
I am going to be working. Yes, I'm going to be working on another interview. You never know. Maybe we'll just have Bo back. Bo part two. Bo knows.
Yeah, we could do that. Bo part two. Isn't that right after St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know. Yeah, it would be. I think that is St. Patrick's Day, actually. It's the day after. The day after. You are correct. The 17th would be St. Patrick's Day. So it would be nice. The day after. But nice. That said, make sure you check out all the websites. Again, that is mooseke.com and hiactalkradio.com. If you do want to follow On the Road Series, make sure you go to On the Road Series on Facebook. Some exciting things there. There are some behind-the-scenes pictures up right now, and the Twitter hasn't really picked up the following I'd like to see, so go there and show On the – it's On the and then RD Series. So On the RD Series. The letter
Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's short for Road. I couldn't fit Road in there. Yeah, I couldn't fit Road in there. Yeah,
I thought it was Rod.
You would. You would, Donnie. So on that note, see you tomorrow night on the flagship with Keiko and the Flying Hawaiian.
I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Hey, luck, be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair, and it's not nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. With me, baby, I'm the guy that you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady.